last action item, almost there, is a proposal from Greenville County. That proposal is coming from the superintendent, Dr. Royster, which requests the suspension of in-person workouts. Commissioner, do you have anything further to say on that or to add as he presented you with this proposal or actually the request?
As I said earlier, we are currently in phase one that only permits conditioning and strength training. It's different than what we were doing virtually because we allow it to occur in person. You can actually conduct these same workouts virtually, which we've done in the past. We surveyed the superintendents. We only had, I think we had 33 superintendents responded. I think 24 of them were in favor of suspending it. But out of 81 superintendents we had, only 32 of them responded.
Any questions or discussion there? You have the information that was emailed to the commissioner, shared with you for this request.
Mr. Commissioner, could you say again how many superintendents responded?
It was actually, I'm trying to pull my notes again together. It's actually 39 responded and 24 of them was in favor of canceling the sports of stopping in-person workouts.
Okay. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none. Warren?
Yes, Mr. Singleton, when you discussed the letter and the request, was the priority that districts be given some guidance across the state on how to handle the practices so that they weren't making those decisions individually and having a disparity across the board, or was the priority that the workouts stop? Or was it just that there be guidance out there so that they're not having to kind of think through that individually and then come into different decisions, even if the conditions are similar?
The thought from the office is that the workouts are just that, strength and conditioning. There is no opportunity to do any strategic planning or putting strategy together for play, because there's nothing that can be shared between players that could lend itself to that. Nobody can go out for a pass and somebody throw it to them. Nobody can shoot a basketball and somebody else grab a rebound. Nobody can bat a ball and run to a base waiting to see if somebody's going to tag them out. I mean, none of those things exist. It was just basically doing what you were doing virtually. So the thought is, you could continue to do virtually what was being done face-to-face. So we didn't even put a plan, because the guidelines were already there. These are the things that you held restricted from. In fact, when it first came out, it was actually through being recommended, and that committee came back and says, this is the requirement, which means if you step outside of that window, then you would have actually violated. So, we did not see where it became much more of a challenge by doing what you were doing before we went face to face, because you already had the opportunity to do it virtually. So those guidelines are already there.
Okay. Ms. Miller.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Singleton, as I understand it, superintendents already have the ability to stop workouts in their own districts based on the information that they have pertaining particularly to their communities. When we talk about a competitive advantage, if we're only doing strength and conditioning, is there any competitive advantage to a district? I guess the only thing that I can think of is I assume the superintendent has the right to completely cease practices or to go to virtual or to remain in person following our requirements. So is there a competitive advantage to that? Do we truly need a statewide policy on that? Because I really like the local control as long as we're not endangering athletes and as long as there are not issues of inequity across the state. I imagine with some of the virtual, there may be some inequities as that's what we're seeing with the instructional piece. So can you speak to any of that concerning this?
Well, based on what you're allowed to do right now, being strength and conditioning and limited use of any type of equipment, we at the office don't see a competitive advantage that exists, whether you do it virtually or do it in person. The school would have to make a decision whether they felt like they could do a better job in person than they could virtually. There is no advantage, there's no opportunity to scheme or put in routines or any of those type of things. None of those opportunities exist for what we're doing in person. So, and if you did it virtually, you'd be in the same position.
Mr. Folk.
Anna said exactly what I was going to ask the same question. You know, I don't think there's any big advantage, but leave it up to each superintendent to make their decision. I don't see why we have to make a bold statement where everybody's got to not have it. Thanks.
Ms. Bryant.
I have a clarifying question for the commissioner. In the guidelines that the league sent out for in-person conditioning, in the frequently asked questions, it said that you could not start until you had some face-to-face happening on the campus or in the school. And so my concern was when many districts opted not to go forward with their summer reading program that was going to be in person, would we be in violation if we then had the in-person conditioning? Because those, we know now those recommendations have become requirements. So that was my only concern in moving forward to make sure that our teams weren't put in jeopardy and penalized if our summer reading programs have been postponed or not happening.
The thought process behind the academic piece to that period of time of using facilities, the thought process was if you had the capability to do it. We didn't want to pigeonhole you and say you have to do academic activities in order to do the athletic activities. You had the option. If your facility lends itself to you having the capability to do it, then it still resided as a local decision. We didn't want to put a prohibitive in there where some schools were not exercising the activities that were occurring academically to say you can't do it athletically. Each community is different, each school is different, and they handle things differently along the way. So there wouldn't have been a violation provided you allowed it. And when it was recommended, there wouldn't have been a violation under recommendation, but when it became required, we clarified it when we had our Zoom meeting for the member schools and that question was asked. We talked about that, what the intent was when it was written.
Okay. Mr. Warren?
Yes, I just wanted to make, we should at least know whether it's a competitive advantage from a scheming or not. I think if you were to arbitrarily on any year tell one school, a football coach, hey, you can't work out with your players in June or July, but you can practice, they're not going to feel that they're fine compared to the other schools and that they're not at a disadvantage. I think we would be I don't think that would make common sense to most of the coaches if they were in that situation. This one's a weird one, I understand, but whether it's a strict definition of a competitive advantage or not, I think most people would feel that a school that gets to work out and a coach that gets to see the players, encourage them to be at a workout face-to-face, monitors the technique face-to-face, implements their plan as fully as they can with all these guidelines, they have a certain amount of advantage to those who don't, for whatever reason that might be. So I think that it's a valid point that's being made, whether I think if we all feel that the phase one guidelines are so safe that even when districts are in all high, that's not something we think needs to be. Maybe the task force didn't recommend that that should be shut down, even if it's rated that high. I think that's one thing. I think local decisions is one philosophy, but I think it is worth noting that there is some competitive advantage. There is an advantage, even if it's not that strict definition, to being allowed to work out compared to others.
Mr. Stone.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. For the past 3-4 years, lower state, East Coast has been football season, fall sports season has been reduced or impacted by hurricanes, flooding, and so forth. If we talk about a competitive advantage, we had many schools on this side of the state not practicing, not playing 3-4 weeks out of their season, and then having to pick up and play the remainder part of the season when flooding issues, and we were able to get back in school. It was brought to the league to look at extending seasons, fall sports seasons, past 3 years, and schools and districts that were not impacted by the hurricane and the flooding had no care in it, did not want to discuss it. So for us to sit here and now and take away local options for and implement a statewide shutdown policy just does not make any sense to me, as we have not worried or done that, put a statewide policy in place in the past 3-4 years due to competitive advantage for schools that were shut down for 3-4 weeks, where other schools were able to continue to play. And some of those schools were on those school schedules later on in the season.
Okay. Any other questions or comments here? Mr. Warren?
Last one. Would it be a possibility to, I think a lot of the safety recommendations have come from the task force. That's something that maybe this committee should not, and I'm new, but watching the meetings I've had, y'all could correct me if I'm wrong. This seems like something that maybe wouldn't originate with the executive committee, but that task force that created the guidelines would be the ones who would say, and we believe this phase one should be done in these circumstances across the state, whether that's a suggestion or a strong suggestion or not, but possibly not something that the committee is trying to be the impetus of. Would you, again, I haven't been at the previous meeting, so that's just my recollection.
Commissioner, correct me if I'm wrong, the phases that are in place were vetted through, and actually the executive committee voted those into place based on their recommendations. So basically these are their recommendations. I guess that's my question to clarify, Commissioner.
But that's correct, with modifications that was made. Ultimately, the league staff was charged with putting it together. But the majority of it was came through the recommendation of the task force with a few adjustments. We looked at some date things and the likes, and we made some adjustments there. But the body of it, or the intent of it, was all recognized.
So maybe that's some clarification there for you, Mr. Warren, to kind of let you know where we're coming from off of that.
I think so. And Commissioner Singleton, when y'all discussed it as a league, was it ever discussed? I guess, am I right in that y'all were thinking through there might be conditions that affected whether you moved from phase to phase, but was it ever discussed that y'all would advise districts on when, maybe if y'all recommended, for example, this 1.5, you might have some guidance around a district, hey, don't go to 1.5, or if y'all had gone to phase two already, there might be some guidelines when certain districts needed to pull back to phase one. Had y'all discussed that, or was all that always intended to be completely a local decision?
Right. Any phase that moves forward, we're currently in phase one, which is basically the only difference between phase one is it being done in person, what you were able to do virtually. It's still about strength and conditioning. So if we go to a 1.5, it doesn't change. The phase one is still there. It's just that the 0.5 allows a few more things. And if you go to a phase two, then the phase one and 1.5 is still there as part of what you're doing, but it just adds a little bit more flexibility in what you can possibly do. The challenge is, when do you move to those? When does it become an opportunity that strategy can be part of it? And then who is being left behind and why they're being left behind? If some districts make a decision, for whatever reason, they just say, we're not going to do anything during these months. Well, what's your rationale? We can't afford it. Then do we make the decision and say, everybody's over? Nobody can do it because District 1 can't afford it. But if it's something that's spread out across the whole situation, then we look at it individually. Again, the local control of the district is probably the best path to follow based on our thinking. Now, again, not speaking to the merits of what Dr. Royce will bring forward or the challenges of what he brought forward. But based on our position, the more it is a local decision, the better the opportunity, because every community is a little different. Some would argue the best opportunity for those kids to practice social distancing, the best opportunity for those kids to practice wearing a mask, the best opportunity for those students to practice limited gathering is when they got them at the school. We thought that the void that's created when it's not with the school, how are those kids going to fill that void, that 2 hours that you have? Reality, we would hope that they stay home. Reality is they probably won't. That's what's our thinking as we put it together. But we were very careful to understand that this was not providing any type of, because we struggled with when we want to start it. But we felt comfortable that this was not providing any type of strategic competitive advantage of what you would use in a contest. Whether a kid gets stronger or not because I'm yelling at him, lift that, or run faster. In person versus saying it across a video. I don't know.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, we would entertain a motion.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion to deny Greenville County's proposal.
Mr. Stone has a motion to deny the request to suspend in-person workouts by Greenville County. Do we have a second?
I second.
Mr. Connor has a second. Any other questions or discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Boozer?
Jason Warren.
Can you remind us again what the yes or the no will be?
Okay, yes. Okay, yes means that you support the motion to deny. A yes vote means that you will be denying the request.
No.
Daryl Owens.
Yes.
Anna Miller.
Yes.
Sonia Bryant.
Yes.
Karen Radcliffe.
Yes.
Marty Connor?
Yes.
Ray Cooper?
Yes.
Michael Stone?
Yes.
Andrea Pridgen?
Yes.
Candace Bethay? Tony Folk?
Yes.
Mike Beasley?
Yes.
Carlos Cave?
Yes.
Ryan Brown? Cal Bukowski?
Yes.
Keith Kaiser?
Yes.
Coming back to Candace Bethay and Ryan. We had some get off. So I have 13 yes, one no.
We have, that was 13 yes, one no. The motion passes to deny the request to suspend in-person workouts. Thank you very much. Moving into next agenda item for other business. Do we have any other business? Commissioner, do you have anything?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Our next meeting is scheduled for August 4th. Actually, it's a two-day meeting, the 4th and 5th. We will continue to monitor the environment, I guess, for lack of